Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, if you'll stand when you get that, please. Matthew 15, verse 1. It says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. And he need not honor his father or his mother. Thus you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they do not worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this is what defiles a man.' Then the disciples came to him and said, Did you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you saying these things? He answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' And Jesus answered, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Let's pray. Father, as we go into your word this morning, help us with this teaching. I know there's many different things that could be taught here, but I just pray that you'd help me reveal what you've given me this week, and that the Holy Spirit would help me, Father, just to give your sheep the message that you have for them. We praise and love you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you can recall, or if you've ever been around someone, you probably have, most of the time, a brand new Christian, or maybe you yourself, or maybe someone that's been off in the wilderness and the Lord has brought them back. Have you ever been around them when that hunger is there, that first hunger for the Word of God? That something that you've heard so many times, it just kind of goes into us and we love it, but it's there. But to these people, you see them soak it up like a sponge. You ever been there? Ever been around somebody like that? That they can't get enough of it, that you, even as a Christian, say in your mind that they're just talking my ears off about the Bible. Can we talk about something else? Have you ever been around somebody? Have you ever been that excited yourself about it? Do you remember that? You can't get enough of the true Word of God. And yet we know that there are traditions that have come into the church, even not just in Israel that Jesus is talking about here, but we have traditions that have come into the church down through the ages. Have you ever heard of grave soaking? Anybody here ever heard of grave soaking? Came about, several decades ago from a huge mega church called Bethel Church. I think they still do it, and it kind of spread. Grave soaking is the belief that if you go out there and someone that you knew, that you thought was kind of like a prophet, or someone that you admire that knew the scripture so much, that had much wisdom with God, if you went out there and you laid beside that grave long enough, you could absorb some of the things that that person was trying to channel to you, and receive the Word of God, the true Word of God. We're talking about so-called Christians here. I'm not lying to you. That is called grave soaking. These people had taken certain traditions, certain teachings in the Bible. I won't go back into it. And it threw the, you know how Satan does, a little along the line, through all that channel, had led these people, bless their heart, to this right here. So if you go, this is in California, but it has spread. So if you go along somewhere, there's two things. If you see somebody in a graveyard lying there, number one, it might be an emergency situation and you may need to help them. Number two, they may be grave soaking. So I don't know if you want to go out there or not, but I'm serious. I'm not making this up. Things that come in that are not of the Word of God have permeated the church and our thinking sometime in merely traditions. The tradition of the elders is what Jesus was talking here. And these Pharisees and these scribes had come to Jesus here. Paul talks about it in Colossians 2:8. Here's what he calls it. He calls it philosophy and empty deceit, the tradition of the elders. Traditions that had come in. According to the basic principles of the world. In other words, it is a worldly belief that man has taken of the scriptures of God, in this case, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the laws of Moses, that they had taken and they had added to. And you know that. You know it from your study. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard me mention the word Mishnah. It is the revelations, or it is the oral law of the Jewish people. It first started, it came about, a lot of it started when they were in captivity in Babylon. See, they still had their scribes, and they still had, so there was a few prophets around, you read them. Jeremiah was one of them and others, but they had other teachers of the law there. And so the tradition started coming out of Babylon when they were captive there. And then it was just added to and added to over time until they have a book they actually call the Mishnah. It is the oral traditions written off of the Torah, off of the books of the law. And you will find in rabbinical writings where they will actually say that they trust and use the Mishnah more than they do the law of Moses. And that is what has started to happen here. Traditions that come about. They begin to trust and live under these traditions as much or more as they were the true Word of God. As I said in some of their writings, they even stated in some of their writings, this is what they said, the law of Moses is weighty and light, but the tradition of our elders is always weighty. In other words, they gave more emphasis and more weight to the traditions than they did going back and living under the actual law of God. So it says, don't miss this here, it says, when the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem. Now Mark talks about that. Matthew put it in there. It's for a reason. What does that mean? These were from Jerusalem. When they came, they had clout, in other words. They had prestige because they were from Jerusalem. Now there were scribes and there were Pharisees that just didn't live in Jerusalem. There were many Pharisees, to be honest with you. There were thousands of Pharisees. And you look it up, you go back in Josephus' writings, the historian. Did you know Josephus was a Pharisee? Did you know Josephus bought his way into being a Pharisee? You could pay money and become a Pharisee and then see beyond the teachings. Okay? But this says they were from Jerusalem. In other words, these were the ones that the people said, oh, here they come. They looked up to them. Okay? These were the teachers. These would surely know what they're talking about. Okay, it gave them prestige. So that's why it says, these came out to Jerusalem to Jesus saying this. They heard everything about Jesus. Some of them might have sat when he was doing, who knows, heard him teach a little bit. They might have seen some miracles that he had done. They might have heard of what he had just done in feeding the 5,000, and they wanted to come out. Remember, out of Jerusalem came several different bodies of people that wanted to see Jesus and test Jesus. It doesn't say here that they came to praise him and honor him for feeding 5,000. It says they came to watch him. In other words, to see if they could find something about him that they didn't like or that they could find in a negative way. So it says they watched the disciples and they saw that they did one thing. They didn't wash their hands in the proper way. Okay? Now understand, we just talked about him feeding the 5,000 last Sunday. Does it say in there anywhere that Jesus, before he broke the bread or before he fed them all, that he led them to a body of water and they washed their hands in a ceremonial way? Does it say that anywhere in the scripture? No, it does not. This wasn't the first time, it's common sense to think, this wasn't the first time that they had talked about Jesus not obeying the traditions. They couldn't convict him. Remember, we were talking about in Easter when they brought him into the trial. There's nothing they could bring in that they could convict him of anything he had done wrong until they brought in the ones that lied about him. They couldn't convict him of not keeping the traditions because they really knew that's not a sin. He kept the Torah, right? But they were upset because he wasn't keeping the traditions that they had laid down. Mark gives us some more detail in chapter 7. It's a parallel gospel here. If you go over there, he gives us a little more detail. He says the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders. They won't eat unless they wash their hands in a specific way. Now, the Old Testament does talk about ceremonial washing, but what is the intent of God? To show cleanliness and cleanliness before God. But do you see how it has been taken out of context here? They took the actual cleansing of what it's supposed to mean. Now they've taken it down to a what? A works religion. Okay? A works religion. So they don't eat unless they do it a certain way. And here's what one rabbi said. This is the way that they used to do it. I don't know if they still do it this way or not. Number one, they held their hands upward and they had water poured on their hands, on their fingers, until it ran down to their wrist. Then they took their hands and they turned their hands down and water was poured on that until it ran and dripped off of their fingertips. Then they took each hand and water was poured and they washed each hand in a certain way individually until it was done in a certain way. And then they did it before the meal, they did it in the middle of the meal, and they did it after the meal. Now in what way is this glorifying God? This is what had become out of tradition. It was added to it, added to it, added to it. No wonder Jesus told them, you add a burden upon men that men can't live under. We need to be very careful in our lives and in our churches that we don't get caught up in some of that stuff. That's why we need to know and follow the Word of God. Mark gives us another clue in verse 4 out of chapter 7, when you get time to read that. It says, when they come into the marketplace, They don't eat unless they wash. Now, why was that important that he would say that? Why would he mention the marketplace? The reason being that there might have been Gentiles there that might have touched the bread. And when you ate it, it made you undefiled. Now, Israel was set apart by God. Okay, they were. They were a nation set apart by God. They were not supposed to integrate with the other nations. They were not supposed to marry into the other nations. But that had nothing to do with God putting the Gentiles down. It's because he wanted to keep them separate as a nation represented kind of like a priestly nation that one day was to go into the Gentile nations with his word. But they turned it around and now they were inclusive to where they didn't want anything to do with the nations. They thought they were set apart special for God because of who they were, not because of God's intentions. So now when they went to the marketplace, if there was a Gentile there or anything else, even the bread that might have been touched by a Gentile, they couldn't eat it unless they went through that special washing. They were taking something outwardly that was cleansing themselves instead of God inwardly to make sure they were going to be clean before they ate the bread. Again, they added something on to men and they excluded a whole group of people. How do we know they excluded a whole group of people? Because there was actually a place in the temple for the Gentiles. It's called the Court of the Gentiles. God never intended to exclude the Gentiles. What happened in the Court of Gentiles where the Jewish people start to exclude them even there? What happened? That's the place where they decided you could come in and buy the doves and buy everything. It was the money exchanging place. So when that was so busy, what did that do? That pushed the Gentiles out. They didn't have a place to come worship because of that. Jesus went and did what? That's when he made his whip, remember? Tradition. We need to be careful. He says also in Mark that they even would wash their cups and wash their pitchers and wash their copper vessels. And there was a certain way they had to lay on the couches. What if we had to do that before you came into church here? Or some of you would lay on the benches. If we let you, I know you would. Okay. We won't even go there, Brother Carol. Wouldn't have their attention long, would it? Remember when Jesus said, you lay the heavy burdens on men? The traditions. In Matthew 15:3, what we discussed here, said Jesus is essentially saying to these Jews, you speak to me of your traditions, but it is exactly these traditions that you use to transgress the commandments of God. The word transgress here means to go past or pass it over without touching it, to neglect it or to violate. That's what Jesus is saying you've done with the Word of God. You've passed over it and you've used excuses. So let's bring it back into our world. You may not have what you call a tradition, but do you neglect, pass over, and do that to God's Word in your life? Without studying, without reading? We need to be very careful that we don't put burdens on other people also. There's a saying that people quote, thinking that a lot of quotes are in the Bible, but they it really aren't. How many traditions do we have? The sayings we have that you, and I Googled it. I usually don't Google much, but I Googled it. It was a Bible app, and I just put in, how many traditions are there that we use and say that's not actually in the Bible? And you can get a list. And I kind of looked them up. I'm like, I'm just going to tell you one here. You ever heard this one? God helps those that helps himself? Is that in the Bible? Is that actually scripture? No. That's not a bad saying, though, is it? You can get the whole intent from the Word of God. Yes, God helps those that helps themselves, that turn to Him and want to turn to Him, but that is not a scripture in the Bible. If you're not careful, you can take that and turn that around and actually harm somebody, because you can make them feel guilty that they haven't kept scripture. Get up, pull your bootstraps up, get up and get after it, because God says He's not going to help you unless you help yourself. That's not biblical. That's tradition. You see how they did it? Except they had many, many more. These traditions of the Jews led to great harm, and now Jesus is calling them out on it. One of the commandments, he says, honor your father and your mother. Notice Jesus didn't answer the question. And I like, you see that all through Scripture. Somebody would ask him something, trying to pinpoint him, and he doesn't answer the question. He teaches them something. And that's what he's going to do here. He says, why do you transgress the commandment of God with your traditions? In other words, the washing of hands, that's your traditions that you use. You put that on people enough. Why do you transgress the commandment of God of your traditions? Now then, we know because of what Peter's going to say later on. Think about this. Get it in your mind like a movie here. When Jesus said that to them, you can probably see the disciples' mouth drop. Why? Because I've already told you. These men that came from Jerusalem were the high echelon. And these disciples were still 100% Jewish. Okay? Did he say that? I've heard Jesus say things before, but does he know he just made them mad? No. It's on purpose, wasn't it? Why are you using your traditions to put this on men? And he said, here's one that the Lord God's been wanting to tell you for a long time, and here I am to tell you right here. He says, why do you transgress the commandment of God with your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And here's another good reason to go back to Mark and read on his. He gives us some more information there on that. Mark says this is what they call Corban. And you've probably studied that. In other words, you can say, you can go in, they worked it around for themselves to where they could say, remember in the Jewish tradition, and we do that really. In the Jewish tradition, it was the eldest male's responsibility to take care of the parents all through. That's why he got the bigger inheritance. I keep trying to tell Jay that's the reason for that, but he don't believe me. That's why he got the biggest inheritance, because he had to use that money to help the parents, right? Well, they worked it around. They're almost like some of our politicians. How can I keep that money? How can I keep this? Well, here's what they did. They said, okay, here's a tradition that we're going to write. And they wrote it in there saying, if you take that money or something else and you call it Corban and you claim that you're going to glorify God over here with it. In other words, they had a trip plan, let's say. They're going to another city. They can say, well, I'm going to use that money to glorify God. But I go, I don't know, maybe I'm going on a mission trip. So they can claim that. And that gave them an excuse not to use it for the parents. Well, that wasn't the intent anyway from God. The intent from God was for you out of your heart. What comes out of the inside to take care of your parents because you love them and God has asked you to, right? But they've used it as an excuse in their traditions to give them an excuse not to. So Jesus is calling them on it. He's saying, you take what you want to use and you're totally doing away with the Word of God and the intent of the Word of God to use it for yourselves. Okay? And in this case, it was tradition of what went inside, what was eaten. And you think you need to cleanse yourself because of that. And you're not worried what's coming out of your heart towards your parents. You're not worried about that. But that's what God looks at. God looks at what comes out of the heart. What I had Logan asking to read this morning. And then what Miss Donna said went right along with that. You see, Jesus said it was not the food going in from the unwashed hands that were the problem. No, it was what was coming out of a greedy heart that led to sinful actions that was the problem. Now, we may sit there and say, okay, well, I hadn't done my parents that way. No, we haven't. But is there something else that we change around that we keep from helping other people to use it as an excuse to really want to do it for ourselves? And what comes out of our hearts, not what God wants. Jesus said you've taken a provision that God has for the parents and you've made it of no effect. Paul warned the Corinthians, you've taken the Lord's Supper and made it no effect by your sinful actions. Remember that teaching? He actually says some of the people have fallen asleep. In other words, have died because of the way their heart is toward the Lord's Supper. That's pretty serious action, isn't it? You've made the Lord's Supper of no effect because of what comes out of your heart is evil instead of good, and you've turned it around for your benefit. That's not what Jesus intended. Israel, the keeper of the law of the Lord, had seemed to have lost understanding of it. These teachers and these Pharisees taught it, but they had seemed to have lost the true understanding of it and the intent of God. He called them hypocrites. That's when the mouths of the disciples probably went open. You hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone that claims to be something but does something else, right? Let me teach you from Isaiah's prophecy, he said. This is good to me because these were the elite teachers of the law. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you something from the true word of God, the true meaning of it. He says, I want to teach you here. He says in Isaiah, this is the quote down here in verse 8, this is where it's from. It says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And Jesus said, Isaiah's talking about you when he's pointing it to them. But be careful because the Holy Spirit may be pointing to us sometime when we're reading Scripture also. If we're not in the will of God, if there's sin in their life that needs to go, that we need to get rid of, the Holy Spirit might be saying, this was prophesied about you, or this is about you. We need to understand that. In vain they worship me, teachings as doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, the Lord's saying here, I'm not accepting your worship. I'm tired of that kind of worship. I'm tired of things coming from the traditions that you have that you pay attention to more than you pay attention to the word that I've given you and what you need to do. Matter of fact, he tells them later in the Old Testament, in the other verses, he says, I'm tired of your sacrifices. That's what he commanded them to do. Wasn't anything wrong with the sacrifices when it was the intent of the heart. They weren't coming in worship. They were coming just to get it done. He says, I'm tired of that right there. I don't want those kind of sacrifices anymore. You might as well just stay home if you're going to come to worship me and your heart's not for me and you're not worshiping me. In vain, that's what that means. God says, you worship in vain. I don't want the extras that you've added. I want the obedience to what I've commanded. Verse 10 says that Jesus called the multitude that followed him, and he just bypassed them, didn't he? And he went to the multitude, and he's teaching them, and he says, don't worry about the little things such as food that defile your unwashed hands. Worry about what God sees you do and what you say that comes from the intentions of your heart. That is to the tip of the iceberg right there. Don't worry about the works. That comes after you're saved. Don't worry about the works. Don't add works. Don't add anything to God's word. I don't want those little bitty things. I want the love that comes out of your heart that's supposed to come out of there. I want your obedience to what I've commanded. Verse 10 says that Jesus called him and told him that. You know, we can come to church on Sunday, washed and cleaned up, and put on a good show, but God knows the heart, and he will not accept the worship of an unrepentant person that has a knowing sin in their life. When I say that, that means a sin that they know is there and they refuse to get rid of. God will not accept that worship. He's just not going to do it. He wants us to repent, to know we're sinners. I am. To ask forgiveness and to come before God with my what comes out of my heart and knowing that Jesus is the only way I can be forgiven and trusting in him and turning in him. That's when he accepts my worship. And what a wonderful thing it is, because you know and I know when we're truly worshiping God. You know and I know when we're just playing. Knowing that still exists in their lives with no intention of doing anything about it. This is worship that is in vain. We might fool everyone else, but we can't fool Jesus. And Ms. Donna mentioned the bracelet. What would Jesus do? Maybe we need another one. What does Jesus see? Maybe what does Jesus see? You've heard me say this before. I like this little saying. A bath with a bar of soap and a red ribbon doesn't make a pig a poodle. A bath with a bar of soap and a red ribbon doesn't make a pig a poodle. We might be fooled. Susan was showing me an app this morning or whatever, this guy that's doing, y'all might have seen it, the dogs, and he can dime and whatever, make a dog like a lion or a zebra or whatever, you know. We can dress up like that. We can fool everybody else, but we can't fool God. Because Jesus is saying here, what goes in doesn't defile you, it's what comes out. The scribes and the Pharisees were offended at Jesus going against them. Think of this now. This is how people still are. Two things can get a person riled up when you talk about their money and try to interfere with their money and you doubt their religion. I don't care if it's Muslim, I don't care if it's Hindu, I don't care if it's Christian, whatever. When you doubt somebody or make somebody question their religion that is dear to them, that really gets their ire up when you doubt it or try to talk to them, or even you. It's the same way. That is dear to us. The scribes and the Pharisees were offended at Jesus going against them. He put their traditions down, but more importantly, he used the word of God to do it. That's what people really can't stand, is when you show them in the scripture and show them lovingly. And if you're wrong, pray about it and let's get it right. But show them lovingly. But that's what they really don't like, is when you show them lovingly in the scripture and they still, they're just stubborn about it and they still don't want to accept. They get upset about that. The scribes and Pharisees prided themselves in leading people out of darkness, in leading the blind, but Jesus said they are the blind themselves. Paul in Romans 2:21 says this, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach that a man should not steal, are you the one that's doing the stealing?" Jesus probably in a sad way here said, just let them alone. Let them alone. For the blind that lead and the blind that follow will not stand on solid ground, but they will fall in a ditch. You have the blind that lead and you have the blind that follow. And both are going off in a wrong direction. And boy, don't we see that in our world today. Not only in church life, but in political life and in just out in the world. People will follow anything, you know. They're following, you know, I've talked about the podcast, you see them. I mean, all over, you know. They're just following anything. And a big thing, it's been this way for a long time, a big thing is to follow the sports stars. All of a sudden, you give a sports star, and they may be great, I don't know, but you give a sports star a microphone and get them a podcast, and they've got a million followers, and what they say is gospel, simply because of their position. Notice the disciples didn't totally understand. Like I said, remember, they're 100% Jewish. They're wrapped up in this tradition also, but they've been with Jesus long enough now. They're starting to see and understand the truth. And the Lord says to them, don't you understand yet? Don't you understand, Peter? It is not all the things you've added in trying to, that pleases God. It's not the little things. It's not the washings. It's not the rituals. It's not the cup. No, it's your heart given to Him who judges it. Verse 19 lists several of these things, pretty serious things that Jesus says here. But here's what comes out of the heart. And these things right here are going to tell us the reason our world's in the situation it's in. Because this is what comes out of the heart. And we've seen that the last couple of weeks on TV. I mean, people just acting out. What's Jesus say? For out of the heart proceeds the evil thoughts. And evil thoughts lead to a lot of things. They lead to murders. It leads to adulteries. It leads to fornication, to thefts, to false witness, to blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile you. Paul in Romans 2:21 says this, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself, as I said before, and you who preach that a man should not steal, or you're the one that's actually doing the stealing. So I'm going to close with this. I know you lost an hour and you're tired, but I'm going to close with this. So wake up just a second and listen to me, okay? Just listen. We're not saved because we're good. Only God is good. But because we're washed by the blood of Christ, we are seen by God in this way. I'm not good. But I've been given the label good because of my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God sees me through Him. That is grace. John 1:7 says this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Amen. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses me. Not the washing, not tradition, not anything like that. It is the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:9 goes on to say this, Jesus' blood ransoms people from God from every tribe and from every nation. Everyone is welcome. He's paid the price. He doesn't have to pay it over and over again. It's done one time. Your sins are forgiven you when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you still commit sins that you need to ask forgiveness for. But He doesn't have to die every time you commit a sin. Revelation 7:14 says this, they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to finish with this. Just hold on a second. John chapter 3. This is Jesus' words. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. In other words, what comes out of them. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest its deeds should be exposed. It is our heart that God wants. It is our heart that God watches. He says He sees our heart. It's out of our heart that should flow Jesus. Is it Jesus flowing out of our heart, or is it something else? The works that we do are a result, or are supposed to be a result of what comes out of our heart, not the other way around. Jesus doesn't accept me because y'all bless me and make me your pastor. He doesn't. He doesn't accept me because I used to go to the prisons and share the gospel with people and had bowed and prayed and hugged so many there as they gave their life to the Lord. That's not the reason he loves me. He doesn't love me because I'm religious and coming to church and being with y'all all the time. And I've been in church ever since I was in diapers. That's not the reason he loves me. He loves me because his son died for me and shed his blood for me, and I'm forgiven. And because I've accepted his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the reason God loves me. He loves me for no other reason except for his grace. There was no reason for him to love me. But because of his grace, he does through his son. And you know what? Satan wants to try to make it so hard for people to believe. It's really not that hard. That's all he requires. I mean, for me to be in heaven, think about this. That's all he requires is my belief, my trust, and my life given to his son that loves me so much. What if I had to earn it? I'll be honest with you. I know me. I probably wouldn't be able to. What if he had set down some traditions and whatever? Jeff, you have to do this to earn it. Thank God it's not that. It's simply loving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, don't you want to tell other people that? Don't you want to tell other people that it's that easy? Oh, it's not easy, the things you go through. God has not made it hard for you to give your life to Christ. He's simply doing it. That comes out of the heart. Yes, the Holy Spirit does the work. Yes, the Holy Spirit does lead. But he's faithful and trustworthy to do it. Don't we want to glorify him?